God is good.
All the time.
Wow. Everybody say wow.
Wow.
Thank God for Father River. God bless you. Wow, wow. Hallelujah. You know, Paul prayed for the Ephesian church. Probably one of the most powerful church in his days, planted. One of the prayers was for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
The eyes of our understanding being enlightened. And that's what God is doing through the obedience of some of the servants he's using here and what we had tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Before we go in, you know, we've been praying about this gathering. We've been praying about this meeting. And we've been having trainings and we've been having prayer. And you're here because you have a passion for God. You have a passion to serve the kingdom of God in the most effective way. And the topic we have here is time to renegade. It's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence you're here to hear that. I believe by the grace of God, what you're hearing will be translated to manifestations.
Amen.
We have been really inspired by the word of God. We've been inspired by revelations. We've been provoked, we've been challenged from since yesterday. Platform for effective prayer. You know, and all the things, I just said platform for effective prayer. It worked in, I didn't know. just worked in. All the inspirations we received from yesterday to now. You know, it's going to be a waste if there is no process for us to leave this place with a determination. We're going to translate what we've heard into action, into effectiveness. Amen?
Amen.
So, tonight, what I will try to do, because I looked at the various things, I mean, it's time to rain. From yesterday till now, those of you that have been here, believe you have downloaded, you received enough revelation to change your life. And many times we go to meetings, we go to conferences, we received a lot to change the world. But why are we doing it? I'm not saying we're not doing, but maybe God is calling us to a bigger, a stronger, a higher level. Amen?
Amen.
So what we want to do now, what I'm thinking, felt to do, is to begin to transition us. How do we take all these things that we're learning, this inspiration, and all these things that we've received this week, how do we begin to position ourselves? How do we begin to translate this when it becomes effective, it becomes manifest? How does that happen? How do we make this happen? Amen?
Amen.
So that's what I will try to look at. But before we go into that, I want to encourage you not to miss tomorrow. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Because this year, we also felt we're not just only going to come train, but we want to also use what we've been trained into and put it in the area of prayer. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
When you go to schools, you go through tests and exams. So we want tomorrow to take all these things we receive that have transformed our mindsets and use them in a corporate way to pray for you and your family. Want to pray for you and your ministries. Want to pray for deliverance, healing, breakthrough, ministration. And then we want to pray for America. We want, when you leave here tomorrow, we're going to pray some very provoking prayer. We're going to put a demand that the fire in California will stop.
Mm-hmm.
So when you leave here, you know God now has taken you to effective prayer. Amen?
Amen.
We don't want to live here and not challenge him with one major event in America. We don't want to just go with God. We want to pray. When you live here, some prayers you pray, you go home the rest of this month before December, you see results. So you know your being here was effective. Amen?
Amen.
So let's have that in mind. Also, tomorrow we're going to do something. You know, if you've heard about the Federal Reserve, it's the bank of banks. They control the money systems of the world. That decision that controls the finances of the world was made by a few men who went, took a big yacht, went into the middle of the ocean, and came up with that decision, that strategy. There are corporations today, a few people just went on a retreat, sat down, and strategized and came out with some of these things that today, corporations that are affecting the world. Most of you hear about the Vision Conference. A few people, Billy Graham and a few people, Bill Wright, a bunch of these leaders got together somewhere. So how do we work together to effectively evangelize the nations? They came up with this strategy. This one is sitting in the campus, Billy Graham is doing all this stuff. People come and they strategize, and they don't leave that place of retreat without coming up with a strategy. So we've come to betray. We've come for the landscape of our thinking, the platform, the things we used to do, but now we've been trained to do it more effectively. If we leave without coming up, leaving with a strategy, we miss the impact we already received during this time. So tomorrow, we're going to have a discussion strategy time. We're going to divide into groups. We're going to leave this place with each group coming up with a solution for families and this nation. And we're going to apply it. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So you're going to be a part of that strategy. And we'll drive us into the next year. So please try. We'll prayerfully come so you hear from the Lord. And we leave this place with some meaningful decision how to help affecting the people's lives in our time. Amen.
Amen.
So, how do we begin to transition tonight? I want to, again, if you want to help me a little bit tonight, one of a few scriptures you can take and read that will read it out for time. Somebody just take note of Matthew 8, verses 8 to 10. First Chronicles 13, verse 3 and 12, First Chronicles 15, verse 2 and 13. If I don't get to some of the scriptures, it's okay. But just this. First Chronicles chapter 13, verse 3 and 12, First Chronicles 15, verse 2 and 13. And then Romans 5:19. Amen? Okay. If you really, and I'm sure you have, you were listening to all that the Lord has been speaking to us from yesterday till now. There is really no need for us to continue now. I think we are loaded with the benefits of the kingdom of God. We are loaded with the call for dominion. We are loaded with the call of the privilege of ruling and reigning. We are loaded with the revelations of dominion and all the things. I mean, everybody was repeating, just like confirmation. So we're loaded with that. So now we want to transition to not only what we lost and how we lost it. But there's one part of this that we're going to look at. And by coming back to this aspect that we lost about our position of rulership and reign, it changes from this night, it changes everything. So the first thing we want to look at, The first scripture is, let's read Luke chapter 15. I'm going to read this part because I just want to highlight a few places. This is one of the very familiar scriptures we all know, and we're familiar with it. We sometimes will call it the story of the prodigal son. Amen? The story of the prodigal son. So, I want through this story to summarize what we lost and now transition to recovery. The story of the Luke chapter 15, it starts from verse 11. It says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. So you all know that story. So let's fast forward to after he lost everything. Verse 17, he said, when he had come to himself, to his senses, this is transformation taking place. What is taking place now is a shift. It's a mind shift. And that's what I want us to begin to see God do to us through this transitional process. When he has come to himself, the shift, he said this, how many hired servants, my father, have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger, poverty. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, please take note of this, Father, I have what?
Sin
against heaven and before thee. The first scripture I read to you today or yesterday was in Lamentations 5, where Jeremiah cried, he says, the crown has fallen from our head because we have what?
Sins.
Woe to us. So he says, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called what? Thy son. Make me now as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, I want you to see this, because this is a shift. This is turning back. Now we want to reign again. And this is how we reign. We go back to. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto him, said to his servants, bring forth the best. Everybody say the best.
The best.
The best robe. That's royalty. That's a covering. That's a mantle. And put on him. And put what? A ring on his hands. That's a sign of authority. That's a seal. You know, when kings, Pharaoh gave his ring to Joseph, you know, kings took his ring and gave to Mordecai. You know, kings do that as a sign of authority. They are passing authority. Put a ring in his hand and shoes on his feet. A new day. And bring hither the what? The fatted calf. Kill it. And let's eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost. It's found. And they began to what?
Celebrate.
Amen. It's God's desire for us to take our place back. It's God's desire for us to take our position back. It's God's desire for us to walk again in our purpose and destiny. It's God's desire for us again to take our provisions back. So that's what we're talking about, raining. We have, of course, like I said, we're full of the benefits. How do we go back? In this story, we call it the prodigal son, the lost son, is Jesus giving so many parallels, so many examples, but in the context of what we are looking at today, about something that was lost and was restored. Something was lost here. Here is a son in his father's house and was desiring something. And what he was desiring was not the father's heart, it was the father's hands. And because he persisted in that kind of prayer, see, we pray, but our prayers, if it's God's hands, if you pray diligently, you get God's hands. But if it's God's heart, you pray diligently, you get God's heart. So, after much prayer, he received the hand of God. He received his father's hands. Two of them. Father gave him his hands, a blessing. But the father did not give him authority. He didn't give him authority. He didn't have authority. He had the provision the father gave him was inheritance. It could be anointed. It could be a gift. It's a gift to give to him. So here, the first thing one establishes, there's a big difference between God's hands and God's heart. Anointing and authority. What we are looking at, we lost from the garden, was authority. God has not stopped blessing the world. Because this is rain to fall on the just, he's still blessing. Both the wicked and Bill Gates is not a Christian to be blessed, to have what he has. God still blesses people. You just heard it. Amen?
Amen.
Anointing is still there. Amen? But God does not give authority to anybody. Just anyhow. So now, the son left, and he took this blessing, or whether it's a gift, whether it's an anointing, whether it's money, whether it's provision, whatever you call it, that it was given. God didn't take it back, give it to you. Somebody bless you, say, guys, your car. Do whatever you like. The gifts of God, he will take it back from you. It's your car. But God's approval, God's seal, was not on that. There's no authority. So he took it, he wasted it. But it's something that happens. The son went and found out something was missing. But he only found it out after now he's broken. And now he came back and says, that's called repentance, transformation, godly repentance. And there was a shift in his mind. And he remembered in this time of crisis where to go. And he says, I must go back to my father's what? To my father's what?
House.
We started by saying, if you don't know where you left from, you will not probably know your destination. You will know whether you've gone this far, you've gone this far away from God's focus. So he had to look back, went back to his father's house. Well, how did he go back to the father's house? He did not go the way he left. He left prideful, he left with gifts, he left with everything. He was not after gifts. He was no more after the father's hands. He was not praying now, Father, give me this, give me this. He was not. He found out all along what is always needed is his father's heart. His father's heart. And now he says, I'm going back to my father. I did not earn it. Now I'm going back by grace. Why he's saying, I'm not wanting. I don't demand. It's no more, it's not like it's my right now. But I'm no more wanting to be God's son. I just want to be close to him. Even if I have to be silent, I want to go back to his presence. Now, what is happening here?
He is coming back broken. His father knows what is happening. He's looking at him. He didn't pay. And the father sees him, knows what is happening. The son came, he said, "Father, I'm no more worthy. Forgive me my sin. You know, I rejected you, you know, because of my ways, my expectation, my needs. I wanted to use your hands for what would benefit me. I rejected you, but I wanted what you have. So I'm sorry, I've sinned against you. I want your heart. I want your heart." So the father says, "You are now my son. Now that you are my son, here is what really belongs to you: your authority, the wealth of this home, the best of this home, the royalty of this home. You are the stone to reign and to rule." Now, when we are talking about what we lost, Adam lost in the garden, he was kicked out. This dominion, this to reign again. Adam was what? Adam was reigning before the fall. Amen?
Amen.
And he lost, and now we know that the Lord came, he's restoring. But Adam lost something. What was it Adam lost that gave him the ability to reign? He lost the ability to see in the spirit. And now, able to see the physical. How did that happen? The moment they disobeyed, and you're going to see now, what we lost is obedience. The moment they disobeyed, there was a disconnection of loyalty. There was a disconnection of loyalty from God to Satan. Satan did the same thing in hell. He undercut authority and lost authority.
Mm-hmm.
So when he lost authority, he knew that the greatest offense against God is disloyalty, is disobeying authority. So now he came and caused Adam and Eve to fall into that trap. And that cut them off. That's disobedience. So in other words, that's rebellion. So as soon as they disobeyed, what did the Bible say? How did they find out that disobedience by Romans 5:9 said, "By the disobedience of one man, all have sinned." Sin and disobedience cannot be separated. So by this disobedience, sin came. That's what we had. But by the obedience of one, very soon you see, by the obedience of one, righteousness. So now, by that disobedience, how did they know that disobedience has separated them from the authority of rulership? Means that their eyes were opened. How can I be seeing you? And the Bible says, my eyes were open. It means they lost spiritual. It says their eyes were open and they started knowing that they were what? Naked. They would be naked all along. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they were uncovered. The righteousness that clothed them, the glory, the robe of glory, of righteousness, God's glory that covered them was lifted. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Now, why was the glory lifted? Because of disobedience. Because of disobedience. So because of that disobedience, the glory of God lifted. And because the glory lifted, the first thing God wanted to do was to restore them. But they were not willing to repent. Repent means acknowledge what is wrong, that you take responsibility for what is wrong, and say, "Forgive me." The moment you don't repent, you release the opportunity to someone else. And that's why Satan took it. So now, when they refuse to repent, And that covering was taken away. That's why God released them from the garden. So, the thing Adam and Eve lost was the covering. That covering was not just an ordinary covering, it was the glory of God, the righteousness. That's why they could not see their nakedness before them. So that covering is the same, it's the whole reason why Jesus came. Amen? Now, if because they refuse to repent, they release the authority to save. Jesus came to restore so many things, packages in that salvation. He came to restore. But the first thing he had to do to be able to take back authority for us, not for him. He already has it. You know, he was already anointed. But to take authority for us so that when he dies, we can inherit it. The first thing he had to do was to take responsibility for what Adam refused to take responsibility. That was sin. The first thing Jesus had to do was to take responsibility for sin. He that knew no sin became sin. He took it, suffered for it. Amen? So that we can that we can now, our nakedness can become naked. So now, the first defeat of Satan was somebody willing to take responsibility for sin. And by the obedience of one man, the power of sin was broken. And then, righteousness is released to us. Amen?
Amen.
That was on the cross. So that's the entering point as we receive Christ and his righteousness. That is a platform of sonship. We stand on that platform of sonship, on that righteousness, to begin to recover, to possess the things that we have lost. That platform now gives us a position for us now to begin to renew our mindset. The biggest problem we have is we have Christ in us, but our mindset is still the same. We are kings on the inside. We embody everything God is on the inside, but we still carry the mind of the slave. So this whole teaching, everything we're learning now, is to help shift the landscape of to come in agreement with who we are. And that's a process. So that's what happened to the prodigal son. He had to shift his mindset from God's, from hands to heart. And authority comes from that. Let me show you how it happens. Please let somebody read to us Matthew 8, verse 8 to 10. You know, why you're opening it? Why is it that if you talk to any pastor here today, why is it that a very wise pastor, after many years of pastoring, especially leaders, they are very careful
Matthew 8, 8 to 10.
Because it's hard to find loyal, obedient, submitted people to authority. So, I want you to see something, what Adam lost, what we lost, and the process of giving back authority. God doesn't have a problem giving us anointing. The problem is, how can God anoint somebody that's not under that authority? You will use the power for something. So, let somebody read for us Matthew 8, 11 to 10.
And so he answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed.
Yeah, continue to read.
For I am a man under authority.
I am a man under what?
Authority.
Uh-huh, go ahead.
Having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and do this. When Jesus had it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Jesus marveled at the faith of someone that's not a Jew. Why was the marvel? Because this man, from a worldly perception of authority, he was able to apply it to a spiritual context and was able to apply that to his expectation from Jesus. What did he say? He says, just speak the word. What is he saying to Jesus? He said, your kingdom is not physical. I know there are servants under you. When you speak, they carry out your order. The reason I know that is in the physical, I understand how authority works. I entered the army, or I entered whatever, I wasn't in authority. I have to be under authority. I have to be found loyal at this level, faithful at this level, faithful until I became a centurion. Overseeing thousands of soldiers. I didn't get there by disloyalty or by disobedience. I did what they tell me I do. I obey without question. I was trained about submission to authority. So I know that for me to hear the things you're doing and for angels to respond and things are happening, you must be a man under authority. And whoever you are under his authority responds to your voice. So I know that because when I tell my soldiers to do something, they carry it out. Because I have been under authority and still under authority. So what happened? The prodigal son is a lifestyle of what happened in the garden. God puts man there. The greatest thing God has given to man, when we talk about made in God's image and likeness, the thing Satan didn't tell Adam and Eve is that God created us with a free will. But for you to be given authority, God has to give you total liberty for you to fully surrender to His will. The greatest problem we have is the ability to surrender to God's will. And the process of surrendering to God's will, first God will let you serve a man's ministry. He said, if you're not faithful in another man, how can God trust you with your full place of authority? So, because God is a spirit, God has to let you learn first. You say, how can you love somebody you're not sick, and somebody you're not sick, if you don't love the one you're sick? If you don't learn to submit to physical authority, how can God trust you with spiritual authority? So, the training, the spiritual discipline to regain authority is first for you to submit. And why do you submit to authority? Because it's a test of your will. Everybody has a will. The kingdom of God is not a democracy. That's why the practice of dying to our will, the kingdom of God does not run on our will. The kingdom of God is run on the will of God, be done on earth as it is. So now, the prodigal son, when he was given the free will, his prayer was, God, bless me so I can fulfill my will. So God said, after what prayer, he gave him what he wanted. But what did that do? Thank God, his father loved him. After his brokenness, what happened? The change that came to his son was his will. if, no matter what God gives to you, if you put it, if it's all about you, it doesn't profit the kingdom. So after everything was wasted, he said, you know what? I need to go back to my father now. I'm no more wanting to have a son. Give me this. It is by grace. I'm going to be like say, I'm not worthy. It is your mercy. It's your grace that makes me your son. And now that he's humble and broken, what does it? I'm no more wanting to become a servant. What? If we can be like a servant, now he's come to the point, he's now willing to do what servants when the servant. What does the servants do? The father will say, go here, the servants do what he said. But now, when you get a son to obey a father like a servant, you have a son that has died in his will, he's now willing to do the father's will.
Amen.
And the moment you God finds the man that is broken, that is no more my will, but his will be done, God will put authority on you. Because the authority of heaven, when it's empowered, is to fulfill the kingdom of God. They fulfill the heart of God on other cities in heaven. So, because from the fall, because we have our free will, and because we're now blinded, Satan has manipulated us now to believe that everything we do is all about us. And that's really the fall. Self-righteousness. It's me, I, my, me.
Myself.
So, one of the things Jesus came to show us about the transition from the son born again and why it takes so long, why it's a process before God can put authority on, not just authority, is the process that God gives you through a period of time, not because you're righteous, but to shift the fallen nature's mindset of will, my is to shift until you shift to surrender to the Lord. Why else would Jesus, knowing who he is as a son, spend 10 years before God could have approved and say, you're ready in the flesh? And on the cross, still before the cross, Jesus still had to fight the last battle. Not my will, but your will. If I have to do this, I did not come for you. Because I came to you, I have come. So, what Adam lost through disobedience, through self-will, Jesus came to show the dying. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but what? Not I. Was who?
Christ.
So, the transition from everything we've had so far is how to go from who we are on the inside to a renewed mind that agrees with who we are so that now we can walk in this authority and grow into what God has for us. How do we go from that state to that state? That transition is called discipleship. Discipleship. And the only way you can understand discipleship is the word discipline. The greatest battle we have today, we've been pumped with kingdom expectation. We've been pumped. We are blessed. I'm telling you, you should live here, you're like a bomb ready to explode. Amen?
Yeah.
But how do we translate it? The greatest thing we have today as the believers, the world has programmed us to be undisciplined. Jesus took 12 men. In 3 years, they were disciplined. If you can translate the word disciple to discipline, it will be a change.
Today we have 24 hours. But many of us don't have the discipline to even study the Bible. Today we have 24 hours. But we want to rule and reign. Rule and reign with who? You want to rule and reign under God's authority that you are not spending time with? How can you reign for somebody that, how can you obey somebody you don't know his voice? See, if the message of the kingdom is not us doing what we want to do using scriptures, it's us hearing what is on his heart and obeying. But how can you hear what is on his heart if you are not in his presence? The whole thing about we lost, Adam lost, was simply Adam lost the presence of God. Once Adam was in God's presence, he was clothed by God's presence, he hears God's voice. He was inspired by God's wisdom to do things. But when he disobeyed, and that presence was lost, the glory was lost, that's what the authority was lost and Satan reigned. So now what Jesus came to restore, we have to understand the way he restored it is not obsolete. It's a process. From the age of 12, he knew who he was. So the process is discipline. The transformation that takes place from Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, though he is the Lord, is the child, but as long as the child is still a slave in his mind, the translation from who you are on the inside to expressing that on the outside takes discipline. One, the disciplines Jesus taught. You see, the Lord spoke to me one time, and I'm watching. He said, what happened was, there's a brother, a man called T.L. Lowry. He's a very good friend of mine. He passed away a few years ago. We're really close. And when we sit down, I was talking to him. I said, he's been 66 years in ministry. And I was asking for wisdom. And he told me one thing. I did not question it. He said, just do this. You know, I didn't question it. So a few weeks ago, the Lord reminded me, says, when this man told you, apply, do this simple thing, you didn't question it because you respected his experience, years of ministry, that this man has 66 years of ministry, he knows the people. He has learned something. So you took that, you valued it, you treasured it, and you took it to the bank. He says, I'm not a man. I cannot lie, I cannot change. And I've given you my word. I love you. He was telling me. See, you believe that man that even the experience is given to you might have errors. But I'm God. Why do you question before you obey? I've spoken this thing, I can't change it. But we want to question even the work. Amen?
Amen.
So, the reason is. Oh, sorry, I'm recording this. I think it's. We're recording it, and I think it's. It's playing the old room. The Lord was showing me obedience. I mean, every one of us wants to rule and reign, isn't it? But it's true obedience. Obedience does not come easy. The reason is because we are human. But we carry a God, we carry righteousness in us. But this mind and what you have on the spirit, they don't agree. And they don't think on the same level. The one on the inside connects to who God is. The one on the outside cannot connect. So, the only way to obey God is by faith. Is faith simply means you cannot think it. You cannot figure it out. If God says it, you hear it, you want to obey. Amen?
Amen.
So because to obey God is easy for the spirit man. But the flesh man is already falling out of disobedience. So it's not easy for us to obey God. So the transition from renewing our minds to come in submission to the spirit man takes discipline. It takes fasting, lifestyle. It takes to conquer, to overcome. You know, it takes studying the word to know the voice of God, to know the mind of God, the will of God. It takes waiting on God in prayer, in fellowship, to really have a tangible personal relationship. Amen?
Amen.
So the discipline that in the natural that the centurion used to look at Jesus spiritually, he says, you did this spiritually, but I do it physically. What was the discipline? You take a civilian, okay? And take a civilian, he leaves the home, he goes to the army. He comes back in 6 months. That boy that left your house doesn't come back with the same money. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. The boy that left your house doesn't even know whether your mom or sir is calling you by your first name. Comes back and says, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. In 6 months, he learned what submission is. He learned what authority looks like. He's been broken. So, my brothers and sisters, what we lost, Jesus came to restore. The translation, right to humility. Go right to meekness. Meekness is that aspect of the fruit of the Spirit that does not question God. Whatever God says, you submit. Whatever God says, surrender, you obey. So God has spoken a lot to us this week, and we need to begin to transition to obedience. The best results I've personally seen in my life when I pray. I pray for things I don't see. All of a sudden, I hear God say something. I obey, and the breakthrough comes. Amen?
Yeah.
One of the transition process I want to challenge us after we've had all this is, some of you are already doing it, and we're just encouraging you, keep doing what you're doing. It's your discipline, it's your faithfulness, it's your commitment. That's why America is where it is today. That's why Africa is this where it is today. You are really paying a great price, serving God diligently to allow us to enjoy what we're enjoying today. So thank you for your faithfulness, but to keep moving to the next level, and not to remember where you are, go from glory to glory. Develop a new level of discipline. In the army, they do it physically, but also in the Old Testament, Daniel had a disciplined lifestyle. Daniel had a time he set aside for God. He was challenged about it. He refused to back down. David had a lifestyle. He spent time in the presence of the Lord. David went after God's heart. Develop a lifestyle, a disciplined lifestyle. It's time to study the Bible. One of the greatest gifts God has given to me since I got married was I made more time for us to study the Bible. together because my wife demanded they must study the Bible together. Mm. It's a blessing. Amen?
Amen.
A lifestyle of fasting. Fasting doesn't change God. Fasting just helps us break the food habit sometimes that so grips our soul that can be a stumbling block sometimes to obey so many times. Amen?
Amen.
Now, why is obedience what caused the fall? Why is obedience what Jesus restored, and why is disobedience what caused the fall? Because we are not here to build our own will. We're not here to build our own kingdom. But God can give us the privilege to partner with Him. And then we are to cause His kingdom to rule here on earth as it is in heaven by submitting to His will. And we can't submit to His will without knowing what His will is. And we can't know what His will is, or we can't hear Him tell us what and where to go and what to do, except we spend time in His presence. And when God has tested us through a period of time, how does He test us? How faithful you are to any authority God has sent you to serve. When in the physical, a leader, a pastor, any leader, even in the war, finds a loyal, faithful person, they can't wait to promote that person. They can't wait to make that person their right hand. They can't wait to entrust the ministry, whatever, to that person. Every leader wants to release things to people. But one of the most impossible things to find is people who are loyal and willing to believe so you can give them big authority. You can only give people little. Sometimes about do this here. Why? Because the more authority I give you, what are you going to do with it if you're not submitted? You can cause harm. So if we want to be restored in authority, we must constantly ask God in our prayers, always, God, am I doing my will? Am I really submitted to you by submitting to authority? Because, like I said, God will use, for example, just a quick example in the Bible. God could not trust Joseph with authority until Joseph had served other angels and found himself faithful serving other people. Joseph so understood authority and submission that Potiphar said, not even an Egyptian said, this guy understands no authority. You have everything. Take my keys, take everything. You're in charge. And you know why Joseph was trusted? Even to his master's wife, he knew he would not touch that. He was that way. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Moses, before he could go back to Egypt to serve God and not men, he had to serve his father-in-law for 40 years, serving under that man. To be broken from ever rising to use God's anointing. The whole reason every human being has to go through the transformation of dying, surrendering their will, is because that fruit that we ate from that garden is exactly what Satan did in heaven. It was I and my will. And everybody tested on that will. And Jesus did a perfect example. He surrendered his will 100%. And when he served in his ministry, how many of us want to rule like he does? He gave us a clear example. He says, my father walked and he didn't go. What does he mean? He says, I don't do anything unless what he has instructed me to do. I don't say, I don't do, but that's what I see. How can we do that without, first of all, being disciplined to know who God is, know his voice, know his ways, and then we are able to go through the process. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I'll put the microphone a little bit. Amen? So basically, we lost obedience because Adam was not submissive to God's will. Jesus restored obedience on the cross, died the man's will. So many times I've asked the Lord, why is it taking so long to raise up men, raise up people that you can give the kind of authority that prophecies to have? And this way, they don't want us to have authority for, because they hear God and they speak. And God empowers their words to change nations and challenge kings. Why? Because they have surrendered their will. How did that happen? Over a period of years, they've been tested. Elisha was so loyal to Elijah. Before Elijah left, he says, who else can I give the right? Who else can inherit? You are loyal, you're faithful. Go for it. Jesus left. Who else can God trust with the power to take the legacy of what he left? When men who many times they're so loyal to him, faithful to him. Many of them, they went through so much. They gave up everything, but they followed it to the end. And God says, found him faithful. Here is power. Here is authority. Go and represent me. So my brothers and sisters, in this meeting, if there's anything we need to take home from all that God is giving to us, because we've received a lot, it's for us to start asking God for your heart. For his ways, for his mind. And then God will start giving you levels of authority. Levels of authority. Authority means influence. Dominion. And then as God finds you faithful, that at this level he's trusting you, he notices that you're still surrendering to his will, still surrendering to his will, still surrendering to his will, he will keep trusting your authority. And I believe God is about to restore authority, because he's found so many faithful people who have been praying for years, waiting for years, crying out to God for years, waiting, even they've not seen the hand of God as they should. And say, God, what are you going to do this? Do this. Some of us, God's hands have been used to bless us and change some of the things that we'll be asking. Some of us might not be here. We might not be serving God. There's so many people God gave his hands and blessed them. So I'm married now. I don't have time. I have this big business. I don't have time. And all these great things God has prepared. These people are so blessed. They are no more willing to suffer. So sometimes the breakthroughs is not that God can do it. It's not that God couldn't bring Moses to change Egypt or Joseph, or he couldn't keep them from all these things. God was looking, always looking and still looking to them for whom he can trust in authority. Trust with restoration. And I believe God has you. That's why we're here today. Discuss this. Amen?
Amen?
Let me close with this. I love for this. There's a few scripture I asked you to read, but you won't have time to go through that. But before I say that, let me say this. Whatever area you serve, whatever area you serve, whether anywhere you serve, one of the greatest experiences that tests you probably have encountered is submitting to authority. And the reason for that is it's not human, but it's some things. That's the only way we are broken. David spent a lot of time in God's presence. Psalms 91 says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen?
Amen.
So as we leave tomorrow, when you come, we're going to touch a few things. We're going to have a few people share. And then we're going to strategize on discussion. We're going to come up. We're going to leave this place with your contribution. We're going to hear, what did you hear this week? What is God saying to you? What can we put together so that by the time we coordinate what we put together, we leave this place with a strategy that when you take it back home, you have a process that can influence and change your family condition, that can change your business condition. Let's start somewhere to rule. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere to reign.
Mm-hmm.
Takes somewhere before you, you know, you fight Goliath. One of the best scriptures that has been challenging my heart lately, and I want to start closing with that so we can pray, is David knew that you cannot rule on behalf of God without God. Amen?
Amen.
You cannot rule and reign on behalf of God without God. You can have anointing, you can have gifts, but you can have it without God. Jesus says, all these great works some people did in Matthew 7, he said, but I never knew you. So, one of the process we must leave this place, why it takes so long, process we must leave this place, we must make up our mind to break the habit of doing things without passing our minds. It's not easy. It's not easy. But it's a discipline we must train ourselves to. Don't take actions without passing. It will take a while, but that's why they call it discipline. It's a process. If we start practicing that, we're heading towards a point. How many of you know myself, I go through that? Okay, we pray, we do things, but there are certain things I just want to carry out. And then sometimes I have to come back and say, Father, forgive me. I know I just came out of prayer. I know this might be you, but did I really ask you? Is this what we should? And sometimes when I ask, I don't really hear God tell me something. So sometimes I just take it that maybe that's what I should do. But what I'm learning to do now is the only one thing spoke to me, follow the open door. But if the door's not open, I wait. I still keep praying. And sometimes it looks like, what are you waiting for? Do something. Many of us today, including me, there are things, there are issues I am still struggling. Some of us have, so including me, there are issues that I'm still struggling to take care of. Ishmael are things we do. They look good, they sound good, they are wonderful, they give us peace, they make us feel successful. They are not good. Because we are impatient in the place of waiting. The most powerful process of moving towards authority and dying to our will is what David taught us, the ability to wait. We don't have that in human nature. So we must practice the discipline of doing our best to wait upon the Lord. We learn the lesson from Abraham. Abraham thought, I'm tired of waiting. Why should I keep waiting? What's going on? Ishmael was born. Today, Ishmael is still a headache. There are things that are fighting our destinies that we give birth to ourselves. There are things that are challenging us. The misery of Israel today is because of Ishmael. So, let's ask God to give us the grace that part of the fruit of the Spirit called us. We want authority. Waiting on God's will is a process, is a discipline that pleases. So as we live today, as we are thinking about the ability to reign again, let us have in mind the ability to wait upon the Lord, to hear His voice, to submit to His will, so that He can approve, He can put rings in it and say, well, go ahead. One of the best things that has happened to me is my relationship with him. One of the greatest impact that after many years of God comfort to me about grace to wait is my relationship with him. I've been around so many ministries and so many work. So many ministries and so many work. There are so many great ministries. There are so many people doing great things. But one thing Iron Sharp have learned is their ability to wait on God and to hear. Listen, if you want to practice obeying God, to wait until you hear God perfectly, you wait until you go to heaven and you hear Him perfectly. But you are going to make mistakes. But practice obeying Him in little things. Hearing Him and obeying little things. And then God will trust you with much. Amen? But if you wait for God to, for you to obey the big things, you will not step out at all.